The Web's Michael Smith. We're in New York City. You know what that means?
What's that?
We're in round two.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody, for not coming to you when we said we would. I think we said we would drop an episode on... Wow, I've lost track of the days. Tuesday, I think it was.
Yes. Between Game 6 and Game 7.
Game 6 and Game 7. And we just ran out of time.
Yeah. Scheduling and, as we also mentioned, some equipment issues. But we're here right now. This is going to be a very special edition of the Canes Cast. I didn't even give it a number for the episode.
It'll be 86.
All right. It'll be 86. So it'll be a turbo episode.
He scored in Game 7 last night.
A huge goal for the Carolina Hurricanes. So let's just get right to it, Michael. This is a... what the playoffs are all about, and what this playoffs this year in the NHL has shown, none of the top four seeds remain in the NHL playoffs going to the second round. That alone is crazy.
Chaos.
But this Carolina Hurricanes team, in a series where the home team held serve every single game, the Canes found a way to break through. And look, it's easy to do this in retrospect, but for the whole, the Canes were the better team in the series.
Yeah.
They really were. Go back to game one, I thought the Canes were better 5-on-5. It was the special teams that let them down. Game two, the Canes adjusted the special teams. They go to overtime on the road, and you know it takes a fluky play to happen where Brett Pesce loses his stick and then chaos ensues. Then the Canes go back to Raleigh, dominate the Caps in game number three. Game number four is an outstanding tight checking game, but the Canes were better there. Game five, ugh. Yeah, you know, you forget that one.
That's the one write-off, I think, from the series. It really, each team
had that.
One
like game three, yeah, right. Game three was that for the Caps. Game five was that for the Canes. And that usually happens in a series with two close teams. I know that sounds weird, but there's usually a stinker for both of them. And then you get to game six where the Canes really, I think that was a huge game for heading into game seven because the Canes fell down first and came back and then won 5-2. But this series had everything. It had big goals. It had huge saves. It had nastiness. We're in New York City, so remember Stefan from Saturday Night Live. This series had everything.
It did.
It really, truly did.
It had everything, and it was. I think it was only fitting that this series went to seven games. This series went to double overtime in Game 7 to be decided. It had everything. Both teams lived up, I think, to the expectations of the series. I think a lot of people were expecting it to be somewhat of a coin flip, somewhat of a long battle. I think you called it on Canes Cast the last episode that it would go seven games, and it did. It took all seven games to decide, and it did take some resiliency from a Hurricanes team that has been just super resilient all season long. Yeah. After getting pretty much dominated in Game 5 in Washington, that could have easily been it, but the Hurricanes, to their credit, came back to Raleigh, used their home crowd to their advantage and got a big win over Washington at home. And then again, as you mentioned, falling behind in Game 6, falling behind in Game 7 even on the road, and just using that mentality of, okay, let's just go out and win the second period and see what happens from there. And the Hurricanes were able to tie the game in the third, force overtime, and that's when just anything can happen. When you get to overtime, especially in the playoffs, all it takes is a shot to win it. And that's what the Hurricanes got.
Well, and the Hurricanes also have Justin Williams.
Yes.
Who I'll take my chances going into a Game 7 with Justin Williams. And then the longer the overtimes go, you just know he's going to have a hand in it. And again, it's easy for us to look back on this. But as that game moved on, and this is really going to be more of a Game 7 recap. Trust us, we will get into the Islanders series coming up for the Carolina Hurricanes. But as that game wore on, the Canes looked like the team that had their game, had the energy, had their legs, and the Caps were getting worn down as the game kept going on. So you watched that first overtime. The Canes dominated them.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know what you were thinking, but from my vantage point, I'm like, don't let this be one of these things where the better team in overtime dominates and then it's something fluky and it goes the other team's way.
Fluky or just a simple rush up the ice and they score on one of those because they are so good in transition.
And Justin Williams said that too last night, that we might need five or six grade A chances to score. They only need one. And the Canes really didn't surrender too many grade A chances past the halfway point of the third period. There were a few, but when they did, Peter Mrazek was there to make big saves for this team again.
the Capitals were the better team 5-on-5 early.
Yeah. It was 2-0 after 20 minutes.
The Hurricanes were the better team on special teams, at least on the penalty kill, in not letting Washington stretch that lead to 3-0. Because if it would have got to 3-0, I think the Hurricanes would have been in a little bit of trouble. And then, so on that penalty kill in the second period, the focus on just winning the period for Sebastian Aho to score that shorthanded goal to give the Hurricanes some confidence, to give them something to grab onto and say, okay, you know what?
Yep.
We're in this game. That was huge. Even though Evgeny Kuznetsov scored his first goal not too long after that, then to have Teuvo Teräväinen get the Hurricanes back within one late in the period, that made a world of difference. That won the period for the Hurricanes, and they go into the locker room saying, okay, we just need a shot to tie it.
Yep.
They got that very early in the third period off the stick of Jordan Staal, and from there, I think they dominated play.
Well, the other key in the series, in particular for the last two games, were the Canes' best players started to unlock the mystery of how the Caps were shutting them down. Sebastian Aho scores. Teuvo Teräväinen scores. Jordan Staal. We could do an hour about how important Jordan Staal was. And can I say this again? And if this is admonishing people, so be it. For those of you out there who thought that Jordan Staal coming back to the lineup might not be a good thing, shame on you. Shame. Everybody's into Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah.
Shame. Shame.
I don't even watch that show.
I don't watch it either.
Okay.
Every time I did, there's something horrific on, and then I move, and then people are like, oh, you just watched the worst episode. Well, we watched a pretty good episode of hockey. I watch hockey. That's my TV that I go to on this.
It's about all we have time for.
But, you know, there were a lot of doubters for this team. There were a lot of doubters about the head coach in Rod Brind'Amour and Jordan Staal, and then what does Justin Williams have left, and the goaltending situation as it evolved as the year moved on. And it just... this series just encapsulated what this team was all about for me, Michael Smith. They never gave up. They believed in each other. They did not give a damn about what anybody outside of that locker room said or thought about them. And that was clear all year because we're around it. Normally when things are said or printed, somebody will say something. Oh, yeah, I saw that, or none of that. They just shut it out. Jordan Martinuk gutting it out with the lower body injury that he has. But I go back to Jordan Staal. How he really asserted himself in this series. Canes don't advance to the second round without Jordan Staal, and I'm not making that bigger than what it is. In fact, I think I am underhyping how important he was in this series for the Canes.
Yeah, I think he was huge, and the Hurricanes, I thought, leaned on him even more so in Game 7.
Yep.
Shuffled the deck, just looking for something to spur the team along, because, you know, like we mentioned, they didn't have much early, and Jordan Staal really rose to the occasion, not only in Game 7, but throughout the series, scoring those big goals when they needed him most. And he's got that to his game.
Yep.
He's so much more than that. And I think that's what people look for is, okay, he doesn't have the production or whatever. But
well, I mean, he doesn't get 90 points a year, and people look at that. It's what his head coach has talked about him all year. It's all of the things that don't get noticed, that don't show up on score sheets, that he brings to the ice night in, night out. And he did that.
And he lives, I think, for playoff hockey.
Yeah.
He's somebody who is built for the postseason. And the Hurricanes have a couple of guys on their roster like that, like Justin Williams, like Jordan Staal, these guys who, when the pressure is there, can overcome it, rise to the occasion, and push their team beyond and into the second round.
And they absolutely did. And again, I got to interview Peter Mrazek on the bench after the game. You know, he took a gamble on himself, you know, the one-year deal to come to Carolina to prove that he's a number one. And he's proven that. But again, the goaltending this year, you know, it was asked of Rod Brind'Amour a bit in the first round. He goes, it's a luxury. No matter who I picked, it was going to be the right choice, or I felt it would be the right choice. So how that worked in. And let's give a little credit, too, to Dean Chenault. You talk about shuffling the deck. In Game 6, they decided we've got to get Brett Pesce and Justin Falk on the ice against the Ovechkin line. And that started to work. And then in Game 7, when you can't really get the matchups that you want, what does Dean Chenault do? He splits up the defensive pairs.
Divide and conquer.
And he puts Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce back together. And Calvin DeHaan goes up with Justin Falk. And Dougie Hamilton plays with Trevor Van Riemsdyk. And then after the game, Dean Chenault told me, he goes, I was so comfortable doing that because these guys have done it. this year. Everybody on that blue line has played with somebody, right, not just for a shift, but maybe for a game or a few games. He goes, so nobody was uncomfortable knowing what they had to do or playing with a guy because they'd all done it. And he said, that's the quality of this team. And that's something else as this series moved on. The depth of the Canes blue line became evident, how good it was. And man, did Trevor Van Riemsdyk have a quiet, great series for this team. Mm. He really did.
Two rookie head coaches going at it in this first round. And Rod Brind'Amour and his coaching staff outcoached Todd Reirden, yeah, and his coaching staff, especially in Game 7. You knew matchups were going to be important. Reirden had, I think, relied upon him, especially at home throughout the series. Yep. And why not? Because you have home ice advantage. You work to get home ice advantage. You have certain matchups that you like, and you have a top line with dangerous, dangerous players. But credit to the Hurricanes coaching staff for seeing that those matchups weren't working out so well, yep, in the first period. Shuffling the deck, making those adjustments, forcing the Capitals really to adopt on the fly, and I don't think they really had an answer. They tried double shifting Ovechkin a little bit, but they couldn't figure out a way to conquer what the Hurricanes had thrown at them in terms of different pairs, different looks, different combinations. So credit to the Hurricanes coaching staff for realizing that they needed to make adjustments, making those adjustments that needed to be made, and then seeing it pay off with the W.
It is a special episode of Canes Cast, episode 86, No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
We're here. Can we sleep?
We are
well,
now.
We're not in Brooklyn. We're in Manhattan.
We're in Manhattan, but we're going to be playing in Brooklyn. We're I'm getting into semantics now. Have you slept?
Not much.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. No, nope. Game was on in my room, and I watched it again.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Wow. All the way through?
Yeah. Well, I caught it. It was in the second period when I caught it.
See, the good parts.
So, yeah, I went through there, and then it came on again, and I watched it again.
Okay.
Not all the way through. I fell asleep for, I think, like, feels like 5 minutes. If I asked you, Michael, to sum up the series, though, what's your memory of this series? What's it going to be like if we're 5 years from now having a conversation over a nice sandwich at a deli somewhere? What's the thing you're going to look up and go, remember this about this series?
I mean, it's Game 7 double overtime. Of course, it has to be. That's the all the talk going into Game 7 was you don't remember Games 1 through 6. You remember Game 7. Those are the moments, the memories that are created for this team, the players involved in that game, Brock McGinn being the double overtime, yep, hero. Those are the things they're going to remember. That's going to be the lasting memory of this series to me, because it was such a closely fought, tight-checking series that could have gone either way. And the Hurricanes got the bounce they needed when they needed it most in Game 7. That's what I'm going to take most away about this series. But just an incredibly resilient effort from this team all the way around, being down 2-0 in the series, being down 3-2 after getting blown out in Washington, to not give up, just like they did in the regular season. You know, just what, 3 or 4 points from the bottom of the league,
yep,
at the start of the new year, and to work out of that, to work out of the hole in this series, it's a special team that's, yep, that really truly believes in what they're doing.
All right, for me, it is going to be Game 7, but it was how this was a team. It wasn't just one line or one unit or the goalie that stole everything. It was their captain being calm, Justin Williams. It was Jordan Staal. It was everybody. And then Brock McGinn, the hero in both ends of the rink, making that play to save a goal and keep the Canes alive. What, in the third period, late in the third, that desperation dive across the crease. And then he scores the game winner from Justin Williams in double overtime. That's the memory. It's been wild, and it's not over yet. But I am going to ask.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
You don't have one, do you?
No,
I don't have anything. All right, but here's the quick thing that we will look at with the Islanders.
Yep.
We got another 7-game series in front of us.
It's wild. I mean, to think that
are you gonna keep it, or are you gonna send that back?
Well, I'm gonna keep it.
Okay.
Obviously, what are you gonna do with it?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep. Well, I gave it to you, so it's not.
Yourself.
So that's, I asked you.
You think it's gonna go full 7 games?
I got that feeling, you know, because it's funny. While the Islanders are well rested.
Well rested. I think it's been a
well
month
rested,
since they last played.
It feels like that for them. That could be a detriment. And they're, yeah, not playing in on Long Island, they're playing in Brooklyn, where there's not as much of a home ice advantage for them. I know, and Islander fans don't get upset about that. I'm just saying that Nassau was just unbelievable.
That's a special building.
Yeah, it's comparable to PNC Arena. That's the other things I don't remember from that series, too, for the Canes, how loud that is. But I think we got another one, and it is wide open, and it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think even though the Hurricanes just played an incredibly grueling seven-game series, some injuries starting to pile up, I do think they might come out, it sounds funny to say tomorrow in game one because it feels like game seven just ended.
It did, kind of. It did for us.
But I feel like they might come out in game one and just sort of keep playing their game.
Yeah.
Well,
that'll be, I think that will be an advantage for the Canes. That's exactly why I'm saying that that layoff, it's going to take the Isles a second to get going.
And with that in mind, I just wonder if, you know, this might be a quick one, maybe a five-game or a six-game series. I think that's...
Well, six is not quick, my friend.
Well, six, that's true. But five and six seems comparable.
All right. So that'll do it for a very special quick edition of the Canes Cast. We need to thank the great people from Canes Vision because of our, as we told you, we had some issues when it comes to, you know, recording it. I'm losing words right now.
I think we're both very sleep deprived.
Yeah, a little bit like that. But thanks to the positive ball of energy, Rachel Silverman, and to the Stork, Zach McCluzak, for allowing us to use their equipment because we had some equipment issues. That was the word I just couldn't think of from 14 seconds ago.
And their room, it's a new podcasting studio, so hopefully the acoustics are all right.
It's pretty good. I'm an audio guy, as you know, and I think this is going to turn out well.
Hopefully.
Well, we'll have another podcast for you, a little bit fuller on Monday.
On Monday, we promise. Monday, there is that gap. Game one is Friday. Game two is Sunday. A couple days in between game two and game three. So we'll come to you on our normal day on Monday with a full length podcast. Apologies for not getting in your ears earlier this week. It just got away from us. Busy time of year, fun time of year.
Oh, it's the best. And we're in your ears now, and we will take all of your questions. Of course, use hashtag CanesCast on Twitter. Best way to get a question to me and the man who is a jewel for all of us to cherish, the Web's Michael Smith.
Thank you.
You're
TV's
welcome.
Mike Maniscalco.
Thank you.
You're going to be Radio's Mike Maniscalco for the second round. You'll be doing play-by-play alongside Trip Tracy on Color. You can hear it on 99.9, The Fan. Hurricanes app, hurricanes.com/listen.
I was going to say the Hurricanes app as well. So all that. All right. We've got actually, there's no rest for the weary and the wicked. We got a press conference to go to that we'll be talking about as well. So for the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you on Monday. We promise.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.